Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This beautiful day, and of course, Big Ten football, and the Nittany Lions going through spring practices, getting ready, of course, for the blue-white game, which all of you will get to see at Beaver Stadium, admission-free, parking-free. But there are other schools in the Big Ten also going through their spring practices right now. And as we look through the conference at this stage, so many outstanding teams, and the Big Ten has with it a lot of depth this year, which you're going to be impressed with along the way. And when you look at the Big Ten, Michigan certainly is a team back and on the rise. They made the BCS last year, and let's give them a lot of credit for making the BCS. Ended up being the second choice in the conference to go on to the Sugar Bowl, and Brady Hoke had a great year the first time through at Michigan. Now, as for his football team, everyone knows about, obviously, the great rivalry between Michigan and Ohio State, and that's been added to it because now Urban Meyer is sitting there at Ohio State. Michigan is a team that returns six offensive starters. Denard Robinson, a quarterback, Roy Roundtree at wide receiver. Also, Fitzgerald Toussaint at running back. They have seven returning starters on defense, and all of their kickers are back. So they have a pretty good team coming back at Michigan this year. What about the presence, though, of Urban Meyer sitting in Columbus? Head coach Brady Hoke.
Well, I think obviously you've got two storied programs who have a lot of great tradition, and as far as I know, it's never been about the coaches. It's always been about those two schools and that rivalry, and the intensity of that whole week when you get ready to play each other, and what a great game and a fun game it is to coach in and play in.
No question about that. Now the next stop, of course, for Michigan is that look at the football team that they have. They're going to start the season. This is the opener. They play Alabama right off the top. First game of the season. It's going to be in Arlington. It will be at Cowboys Stadium on September 1st. Are they already pointing toward that?
Probably not as much right now. Just because we're trying to get some young players being able to line up and being able to do the technique and the fundamentals that we want. Obviously, we've talked about it some. I think all of our guys are well aware that we're going to play a great football team on September 1st. So we haven't, just focused in on that football game because of the other things we need to get done.
There are plenty of things they do have to get done, but they have an outstanding quarterback coming back in Denard Robinson. Robinson last year led Michigan in rushing with 1,176 yards, and he scored 16 touchdowns along the way. In fact, they had two 1,000 yards rushers last year because Fitzgerald Toussaint rushed for better than 1,000 yards and scored 9 touchdowns. Robinson, to his credit, finally found stride throwing the football. Even though he threw 15 interceptions last year, he still ended up throwing 20 touchdown passes and threw for 2,173 yards. Not bad. 55% needs to be better. Al Borges, the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, it took a while for him to get used to Robinson and for Robinson to get used to Al Borges. And Brady Hoke says in the end he liked how it worked out.
I would say it'd be yes to both questions. I think Al did a tremendous job of probably getting more out of his comfort zone offensively and doing some things, when you have a guy like Denard who's got some special ability, and at the same time, I think there's enough two-back stuff that we see from a defensive standpoint and from our offense and what we will be more of you know, I think we're getting that accomplished at the same time, and I think Denard's adjusted well.
No question, Denard Robinson did adjust well, and certainly a team that will be one of the favorites in the Legends Division, the Michigan Wolverines. What about Iowa? Let's talk about them next. Iowa went 7-6 last season. They were 4-4 in the Big Ten. While Michigan is not on Penn State's schedule, Iowa was. In fact, the Nittany Lions won it at Beaver Stadium 13-3. Penn State will play Iowa at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City Saturday, October 20th. There have been some changes for Iowa. New coordinators. Greg Davis is now the offensive coordinator. Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator. Head coach Kirk Ferentz gave us an overview of what Iowa football looks like right now.
Sure, it's been good to get started, certainly, and just to make a little bit of a correction. We don't technically stop this Saturday. It is our spring scrimmage and what have you. But we actually have three more workouts afterwards, so we're just a little bit over halfway. We finished up our eighth practice on Saturday, and the reason we're doing it this coming week, we have the Olympic trials here in wrestling on the 21st, and it's going to be just mayhem in the parking lot with. I think they're expecting around 16,000-17,000 people and watching the wrestling. So we decided to make this our final scrimmage for the public at least. But the team's working hard. You know, we've got a relatively young football team, and we have some system changes, staff changes, reassignments, things like that. So we've got a lot of new elements to the program right now, and I think that's made it that much more interesting for everybody. But overall, we've got a pretty young team, relatively inexperienced, but the guys are working hard. We're getting some good quality work in so far, and attitude's been, I think, very, very good. And overall, really pleased with things. Yet we still have a real long road ahead of us right now. So, it's good to be in the middle of things.
You look at his football team. He has a fine quarterback coming back in Jordan Vandenberg, a guy that had to throw over 400 times last year. But you're looking at a 3,000-yard passer. They had Jordan Cannizzeri coming back, but he tore his ACL this spring. He's out for the year, and Marcus Coker has already been thrown off the football team. Issues there. They lose Marvin McNutt at wide receiver, but they do return Keenan Davis, who had 50 catches last year, and Kelvin Martin Manley comes back with 30 catches. Not bad. As for the defensive side of the ball, Tanner Miller and Micah Hyde led this team in interceptions. They're both back. They had three each last year, and Jamie Morris did really well as the middle linebacker, and Christian Kirksey. They both had 110 tackles last year for this football team. But the big change at Iowa is the fact that after 12 years and now the 13th year coming up for Kirk Ferentz, he had made very few changes on his staff. It really is the same guys over and over until now. Greg Davis is the offensive coordinator. Phil Parker is the defensive coordinator. And they've had to start over in some ways.
It was an unusual year for us. You know, we've been so fortunate 13 years to have the same coordinators. And I can't say enough about the job that both Norm Parker and Ken O'Keefe did. Both of them are exceptional people, exceptional coaches. And, they were here through the 1-10, and they were here through the 11-1s, too. So, I mean, they really huge part of any success that we've had. But that being said, I think the transition's really gone well on the defensive side of the ball, moving Phil Parker up and then sliding guys around a little bit. They've really done a great job. And for the most part, we're doing things, similar to what we've been doing. So that hasn't been huge. But nonetheless, you don't want to minimize any changes. And then on offense, just feel so fortunate that we were able to get Greg Davis here. And just heard nothing but great things about him through the research phase of things, and then obviously very impressed with him during the interview, and having him here now on campus for a couple of months, just couldn't be pleased. He's been a great fit, first and foremost, with our staff and with our players. And after being around him now for 2 months, I can really understand why people that I respect so much had such great things to say about him. So it's been good, and the more dramatic change has been on the offensive side, particularly with the just terminology and nomenclature. Been a lot of learning, but one thing, I went through this a little bit in the NFL. Players tend to learn faster than the coaches in a lot of instances, and that certainly has been the case here as well.
It also helps having a veteran quarterback. James Vandenberg comes in as its second year as the starter. Remember, he had to fill in a couple times for Ricky Stanzi, and when he did, when Stanzi was hurt, Vandenberg performed very well. Well, Vandenberg had a full season as the starter last year. He might not be the most mobile guy out there, but he's efficient and makes relatively few mistakes. Vandenberg threw for 3,022 yards last season, 25 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions. And by the way, 3 of those 7 interceptions were against Penn State. But Vandenberg performed well, and he's looking forward to working with new coordinator Greg Davis and everything they put in.
Well, I think obviously having a new play caller, you're going to have some different tendencies. Maybe what he likes on third down compared to what Coach O'Keefe like or first down calls. But we know that we still want to be balanced running and throwing the ball, and our pass game has probably expanded a little bit, and hopefully that will help us out on the third down situations.
That's James Vandenberg, the quarterback for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Good-looking football team. They'll have Mike Meyer back as their kicker. Meyer was 14-20 last year, including a 50-yarder, and some of the other people that we outlined, they were some of their top players back. They have 6 starters back on offense, 5 starters back on defense, plus Meyer back as the kicker. They do lose some quality players. Riley Reiff will be one of the top 10 players selected in the NFL draft. They think that Adam Gettis is also going to be a guy that's draftable. And on the other side of the ball, guys that were a real pain in the neck to Penn State. Broderick Binns was a pain in the neck for years. He has now graduated. Mike Daniels also on the defensive line leaving. And Tom Nardo played well. And Sean Prater hurt Penn State repeatedly playing at that corner spot for Iowa the last few years. Those are some of the players that they've lost. The Nittany Lions will take on Iowa. That'll be Saturday, October 20th at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. The Nittany Lions won last year 13-3 at Beaver Stadium. So a lot of changes for the Iowa Hawkeyes as they move forward. Now, we've just started to scratch the surface. We have already talked about Michigan and what Michigan is up against, and Michigan is going to be playing its spring game, and the great job Brady Hoke has done. They don't return to the Penn State schedule for another year, and the schedule that they'll have at Michigan this year will be Alabama in the opener at Cowboys Stadium in Arlington. Then Michigan's going to play Air Force at home, then UMass at home, UMass making the transition to Division I. They'll be at Notre Dame on the 22nd. Then Michigan will play at Purdue on October 6th. The 13th, they have Illinois. Michigan State will be the assignment at home on the 20th. At Nebraska on the 27th for the first time. At Minnesota on November 3rd. Northwestern on November 10th. Iowa November 17th. And then they close out at Ohio State, that game in Columbus. Now, as for that Iowa schedule this year, the Iowa schedule this year breaks down like this. I mentioned the Penn State game on October 20th. Well, they're going to open the season, Iowa will, going in a little different direction than Michigan. Michigan's going to open up with Alabama, which is going to be obviously a great game. And they're talking about pointing to it. But as for Iowa, they're going to open up with Northern Illinois. Then they have the Cy-Hawk Trophy game, which is very important in-state. They'll take on Iowa State. Then they host Northern Iowa. Then they host Central Michigan. So outside of Iowa State, 3 really nondescript opponents going in. Then they open the Big Ten with Minnesota. Minnesota, by the way, beat them last year. This game will be in Iowa City. Then they play at Michigan State. Then it's the Nittany Lions October 20th at Kinnick. October 27th, they will play at Northwestern. They'll be at Indiana on November 3rd. Purdue at home on November 10th. On November 17th, Iowa will play at Michigan, and then they have that last game of the season on a Friday afternoon when they take on Nebraska. That will be in Iowa City. Well, that's a look at Michigan, and that's a look at Iowa. That's 2 down and 10 to go in our look at the Big Ten Conference. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Northwestern. We'll also take a long look at Pat Fitzgerald's team and where they're headed. And then coming up the next half hour, Mark D'Antonio talking about what's going on at Michigan State. We'll also have Jerry Kill in Minnesota trying to improve his program. Bo Pelini and Rex Burkhead talk about Nebraska. That's all coming up. We'll continue with our look at the Big Ten Conference in the spring with Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald after this on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Get a jump on savings with coupons in your Kohl's Hardware Flyer.
Clip the coupons for buy one, get one free for Easy Care and Weatherall paint. Limit 5 free gallons. Plus, clip the coupon for a propane refill for just $12 or $5 when you buy a new 20-pound tank.
Time for garden cleanup. Get the Bully round or square point shovels and Bully rake, just $29.99 each. Bully tools are made in the USA. And get a jump on weeds with a 13-pound bag of Preen, just $17.99.
Save $25 on a pressure washer, now just $89.99. And save $9 on Fisker pruners. A two-piece set is just $15.97.
Get a jump on color with a Whiskey half-barrel planter ready for spring pansies and colorful solar stake lights. Butterfly, hummingbird, and bumblebee, now just $4.99.
Clip your coupons from the flyer and get a jump on savings at Kohl's Hardware. Hurry, sale ends April 15th.
For more savings, sign up at kohlshardware.com and be a friend and like us on Facebook.
Now, Kohl's Hardware is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Sign up at kohlshardware.com.
Hi, this is Steve Jones from The Steve Jones Show, weekdays 3 to 5 on WKOK. Join me Wednesday, May 9th from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 21st Annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There'll be morning and afternoon flights for a four-person scramble. Then stick around and join me for The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 that afternoon, live from the course. For more information, call Bonnie Wassmer at 286-5636. I'll see you on the team May 9th with WKOK.
Everyone knows spring is about new beginnings. Are you dreaming of a new beginning in a new home? Great, I can help. Hi, I'm Tracy Hands from Bowen Agency Realtors. Want a for sale sign in your yard? I have plenty on hand. In fact, I have buyers too. Need help finding your new home? I'd love to help with that. Give me a call and I'll get right to work for you so you can start living your dream.
Bowen Agency Realtors in Sewens Grove, Lewisburg, and Sunbury. On the web at bowenagency.com. Coming or going, see a realtor at Bowen.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Great to have you with us as we continue to preview spring football in the Big Ten. So far, we have heard from Michigan coach Brady Hoke, and we've also heard from Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz, along with Iowa quarterback James Vandenberg. So that's two down in the Legends division and four more to go. In that Legends division, you have Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald's team has performed very well over the years. Last year, went to 6-7. They were 3-5 overall in the Big Ten. But Pat Fitzgerald has an interesting team and a relatively deep team to talk about this year. And when you look at what they've been able to accomplish, they've done very well to this point. You look at what Northwestern's done over the years, spread offense, quarterbacks, quick hitting, run a lot of plays, mostly utilize the pass game. Northwestern has been at the forefront of doing things such as that. Well, when you look at their leading returning rusher, it's Kane Coulter who's going to be their quarterback this year. They lose Jacob Schmidt off this team. But they don't have any returning running backs, but that's not a big deal to Pat Fitzgerald, and he knows that the game over time, whether it's the NFL, high school, or college, has changed.
I think the game has changed a little bit. You know, you look now, especially, you know, a lot of teams that run a similar offense to us with the spread. You know, we're bringing in running backs that maybe weren't the traditional running back that was here in this league 15, 20 years ago that was dotting the I and just running ISO and power. You know, now you're getting more guys that are zone scheme backs that can also get out in the open and run routes and play in space. So, you know, I maybe just the evolution of the position, the way the colleges are playing and high school kids are playing, less I formation football and, in more spread offenses or maybe changing the dynamic of the running backs. But, you know, it is what it is in the NFL. You know, it's a short shelf life, it seems like, for those that position, just because so many guys get dinged up. And it's so darn hard to run the ball with the size of the D-line of the NFL and the speed at the second level with the linebackers. You know, it just seems really hard to run the football in the National Football League.
You look at what Northwestern's been able to accomplish. Pat Fitzgerald's in his seventh year. He stepped into a tough spot when Randy Walker passed away. In the 6 years at Northwestern, he is 40-36. He's done extremely well. And everyone knows he's done extremely well. What kind of football team does he have? Well, on offense, he has five starters returning. But not included among those five starters would be the quarterback, Kane Coulter, who played all over the place. We'll get to him in just a few moments. He has six starters back on offense, and sources have told me that even though they've lost Jeremy Ebert and Drake Dunsmore, this may be the best set of wideouts that they've ever had at Northwestern, led by Demetrius Fields and Christian Jones. When Pat Fitzgerald looks at his team that went 6-7 last year and went to a bowl game last year, they lost to Texas A&M in the Meineke Car Care Bowl 33-22. He said the word to describe his team is hungry.
And I would still describe them that way. We've had very physical practices, especially when we came back. I thought the start was great. We had a great five practice set before we went in finals in spring break. And we had a little bit of a lull, which we anticipate and I think is unavoidable with the way that our academic calendar is set up because the guys have 2 weeks off. So, you know, the first couple practices of the second week were just okay, the Monday, Tuesday. But from that Thursday practice on, this team has really begun to come together. We've had very physical, very competitive practices. And we got to about kind of right with the practice rep number that we wanted on Saturday. I think we were sitting around 70 couple reps. And the number two offense had just scored on the number two defense. And I was getting ready to blow it up and bring the guys in to wrap up practice. And the defensive players lobbied me to go out and have more reps and wanted to go out and practice more. I've never seen that before. You know, Mike Hankwitz has been doing this for a couple of moons, a couple of years, and he's never seen that before. So our attitude right now, you know, being here in our final week of spring, is in the right spot. And I think the competitive nature of this group is in the right spot. And the defense came out and got the stop. The offense went forward on fourth down and got the stop on Saturday. So, you know, a lot of encouraging things happening, and I think it, a lot of coaches will say this, and I think we all mean it. You know, the attitude that's being forged through spring ball is the new pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Hopefully it'll be a catalyst and a springboard to get the chemistry in the right place in the summer.
Let's talk about the quarterback situation. Dan Persa, to his credit, showed so much guts last season, a lot of guts last season, by coming back from the Achilles and getting himself back into the lineup. He ended up playing 10 games last year. Persa graduates with, he had 17 touchdown passes and just 7 interceptions. He hit 73% of his passes last year for 2,376 yards. But now he's going to be replaced by a guy that is ultra dangerous, Kane Coulter. Coulter did everything they asked of him last year. As a quarterback, he completed 67% of his passes with 6 touchdowns and 1 interception. Running the football when they had him sitting there either as a slot back or putting him in the shotgun and having him run wildcat, he gained a team-leading 654 yards and scored 9 touchdowns. As a receiver, he caught 43 passes for 466 yards and 3 touchdowns. Incredible. But now he's concentrating on just being a quarterback, and he loves it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like, you know, that's helped me out a lot this spring. You know, last year, you know, we had Dan, and, you know, everybody knew that he was going to be the guy, so you know, I had to, you know, worry about, you know, if I was going to be in there at running back or receiver. But now, you know, just, you know, solely focusing on quarterback, you know, that's really helped me. And, you know, it's gave me a chance to really just take this, you know, this leadership role over, you know, as the team's quarterback, because everybody's going to look to the quarterback.
Kane Coulter, outstanding. What do they do? Well, they open up at Syracuse. Then they'll play Vanderbilt at home, Boston College at home, then South Dakota. On September 29th, they open the Big Ten with Indiana. Then on the 6th, they're here at Beaver Stadium against Penn State. Then they're at Minnesota, then Nebraska, Iowa, at Michigan State, and Illinois. More coming up after the news on WKOK.
Thank you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Back second half hour here on WKOK as we preview spring football in the Big Ten. We are in the Legends Division, and so far we've heard from Brady Hoke of Michigan. We've heard from Kirk Ferentz and his quarterback James Vandenberg at Iowa. And we've heard from Pat Fitzgerald and his quarterback Kane Coulter talking about Northwestern. Our next stop is the team that won the Legends Division last season, Michigan State. Everyone felt going in that the favorite going in would be Nebraska, that the number two pick in all likelihood would be Michigan. But the team that won it and did the job, Michigan State. In fact, Michigan State has now defeated Michigan four consecutive years. They'll play this year, by the way, at Michigan. They are not on Penn State's schedule. What does Mark D'Antonio have? Well, he's in 5 years, he's 44-22. And a big plus for him was that they finally broke through and won a bowl game. They have been into a bowl game in each of the 5 years under Mark D'Antonio, but they were 0-4 in bowl games. And then in overtime, they beat Georgia in the Outback Bowl on January 2nd, 33-30. Great win for them. And a great year for Michigan State, going 11-3 and 7-1 and winning the Legends Division. They have five starters back on offense. Le'Veon Bell, the tailback, is the key guy, but they also have four of their offensive linemen back. Huge. And that will help out Andrew Maxwell, who's been waiting in the wings to finally get a shot because the outstanding Kirk Cousins has been in his way for the last 3 years. But they also lose seven stars on offense, a lot of wideouts like Keyshawn Martin, B.J. Cunningham. They lose guys like that. On defense, though, and this is where Michigan State was the best last year. This was the best unit they had, was this defensive unit. They have eight starters back on that defensive unit. Marcus Rush at defensive end. William Golston, who received a lot of publicity last year for the wrong reasons, but still is outstanding at that defensive end spot and somebody that has to be reckoned with. And then you look at their linebackers. All three linebackers are back. Denikos Allen, Max Bulla, and Chris Norman. And in the secondary, Johnny Adams is one of the better guys in the secondary in this conference, along with Isaiah Lewis. A really good-looking football team on both sides of the ball. I mean, you look at their top six tacklers, five of the six are back. Five of the six are back. And then Lewis picked off four passes last year. Duckwees Denard had three picks, and Johnny Adams had three last year. Just a good-looking team. And Dan Conroy is back as their place kicker, and Mike Sadler is their punter. They're loaded for bear one more time. And Mark D'Antonio says that when you look at his team, the first thing he looks at and really absorbs and likes is his senior class.
Yeah, I think if you have your best senior year, great things are going to follow that. So if individually all our guys can have a great 2012, chemistry will stay right, and everything will just build on that. And that's what's happened here, I think, really wherever I've been, either as a assistant coach or as a head football coach. That's what's followed.
Now let's get to his quarterback. Kirk Cousins, his starter the last 3 years. And Cousins had a fine senior season. Played in 14 games because, remember, they played that championship game against Wisconsin, which was an outstanding game at Lucas Oil Stadium. He threw 25 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Now he has Andrew Maxwell, who has been waiting his turn. Maxwell only threw 26 passes last year, but he completed 18 of them at 69%. He threw one touchdown and no interception. But he's been waiting his turn, aching for the moment, and Mark D'Antonio has tremendous confidence in what Andrew Maxwell can bring to the table.
Sure. We recruited Andrew in 2009 class, so he's been here for 3 years. He was an Elite 11 quarterback coming out of high school. He was a 6'7 high jumper. He's got that good athletic ability. He's an excellent student, and studies the game very extensively. He just got put in a situation where he was behind Kirk Cousins, and Cousins was our guy for 3 years. And the first year when he was working towards becoming that guy, Andrew was a true freshman.
Right.
We wanted to redshirt him. But he has played for us, so he does have experience. He has a very live arm, and
great young person. He's an outstanding leader, very, very calm, and I think great things are around the corner for him.
And he's the guy that gets the ball, and he'll have a lot of help at tailback. Le'Veon Bell rushed for 948 yards last season and scored 13 touchdowns. He averaged better than 5 yards a carry. And not only that, he's a pretty good back out of the backfield. 35 catches last year for 267 yards. He's the guy that leads the way for Mark D'Antonio from the I spot.
Well, we've got four tailbacks, and all four of these guys have had outstanding winter workouts. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell is a guy that comes back as probably the lead guy that's back. Edwin Baker is going out for the draft. Then behind him, Larry Caper's been the lead back in 2009. And, he hopes to be injury free and resume that position. And Nick Hill is a young player that, has shown spurts of, I think really very, very talented player. And then Jeremy Langford may be one of our faster players on this football team. So we've got four very capable guys. I think the lead guy right now is Le'Veon, physical type runner. You know, our guys don't put the ball on the ground much. They all catch the ball very well. So there's a lot of similarities in all of them. But I'd say Le'Veon's the lead guy at this point. But nothing surprises me when you're playing tailback. If you got to stay healthy and you got to continue to grow.
One of the unfortunate things is that Michigan State is no longer on Penn State's schedule. They won't be there until 2015. That's why I don't like the crossover game in the Big Ten, because if you had worked it out without a crossover game and say Ohio State and Michigan were in the same division, you would play every team home and away at least once in a four-year span. But because of the crossover game, Penn State, for example, a great rivalry with Michigan State, is not resumed again until 2015. Regardless of that, Michigan State will open the season with Boise State at home, and that'll be on Friday night, August 31st. Then they go to Central Michigan. That's right, they will play at Central Michigan. They have Notre Dame at home, Eastern Michigan at home. Then Ohio State, they open up the Big Ten at home. At Indiana, Iowa, at Michigan on October 20th, at Wisconsin, Nebraska at home on November 3rd, the 17th. After a bye week, they get Northwestern, and then they will play at Minnesota to close out the regular season at the bank in Minneapolis. Which brings us to Minnesota. Jerry Kill. So many things happened with Minnesota football last year, and it continues to happen. Unfortunately, Gary Tinsley, who was on his path to be a graduate player, had graduated. He was not going to be returning to the team. He'd already used up his eligibility, but he passed away last week. They've been trying to overcome that. Jerry Kill, with his personal health problems, had seizures twice last season, missed periods of time last year. Minnesota, to its credit, though, still ended up going 3-9, and they actually won two of their final five games. They beat Iowa, and then they beat Illinois at the end 27-7. You have to give them credit for that kind of resiliency. And with that in mind, Jerry Kill feels that his program is ahead of where they were a year ago at this time.
Well, you know, our spring is our kids have done a good job in the off season. I think they've worked hard. I think we've moved our program forward in a lot of ways. And in spring ball, I think, like every team right now, I think each time you go out and practice, your kids get better. And I think our kids have certainly come a long way since we have been here, and we're expecting a better football team. We have had some tragedy here at the University of Minnesota, and we've been off for 4 days, and we head back to the practice field today. Overall, I think our kids have handled some adverse conditions and also handled on getting better and what we needed to do very well, and we look forward to the rest of the spring.
In fact, last year they didn't have a lot of depth, and because of that they really played sort of a spring game. They really used it as a working scrimmage along the way. But now it's a little bit different. It has more players available, and because of that they can handle the spring game differently.
Well, we've done both. We did it like a practice last year, but I think our guys need to be put in game situations as much as they possibly can. And sometimes I felt like we spent so much time out there with our kids last year during the spring scrimmage or spring practice that we were making some decisions and still coaching during that period. So I think it's a good time to pull the coaches off the field and let the players play. And see how they handle it. We're at the stages right now. We need to understand and see how people are going to handle a game type situation. So I think it's good for the kids that competition's important, and we've got a lot of guys going into the 15th practices. We need to see some things separate out. So I think it's a good way to find that out.
And he has seven starters back on offense, and he has six back on defense, including linebacker Keenan Cooper. Troy Stoudemire led the team in interceptions returns, along with Brock Vereen and D.L. Wilhite. But on offense, the key guy without question, quarterback Marquise Gray. Gray last year threw for 1,495 yards, eight touchdowns, eight interceptions. Not great, but as a runner, wow. 966 yards rushing to lead this team, and he is now the leader for Jerry Kill on the field.
Well, I would say there's no comparison to where he's at now when we started last spring and where he's at right now. Last spring he had trouble getting a snap, so, I mean, it's a totally different young man that's pulling the trigger for us than he was a year ago. He's thrown the ball very well in the spring. I think we all know what kind of athlete he is, but I think he's become a quarterback. And, I'm very pleased with the progress that he's made through the spring. And we just got to make sure we get some people around him to help him out. And that's what we're trying to do. But his progression as a quarterback, even in the last two or three games that we played in last year, he kept getting better and better and better. He's left off, we haven't started from scratch. He left off to what we did, when we played Illinois. He's gotten better from even then. And so that's why we're cautiously optimistic that our football team is going to be better.
That's Minnesota head coach Jerry Kill. They open at UNLV on Thursday, August 30th. Then they have New Hampshire at home, Western Michigan at home. They should get off to a good start. Then Syracuse at home. They open the Big Ten season at Iowa, then it's Northwestern, then at Wisconsin, Purdue, and Michigan back-to-back at home, at Illinois November 10th, at Nebraska, and then Michigan State at home to close out the Big Ten season. How about Nebraska? This is the crossover game for Penn State. And Nebraska is a team that is very confident, ready to go. They have eight starters back on offense, including Taylor Martinez and Rex Burkhead. They have seven starters back on defense, although they lost a couple big guys, though, in Jared Crick, Levante David, and Alfonso Dennard, losing them. But still, head coach Bo Pelini likes where his program is right now.
Well, our approach is, just get every guy, you want to see progress. You want to see progress in each guy individually. And, it's not about, you don't have really have two cohesive units going out there. We're mixing and matching a lot. We're trying to get a lot of guys' reps and a lot of guys' work. And, we do a lot of two-station work, a lot of, multiple, getting a lot of guys' reps and trying to get our guys better. And I think we've accomplished that. I think we've gotten, there's not a lot of standing around on our practice field. We have a lot of guys out there practicing and getting better. And we have made some significant progress.
And they also have some great play up front. And Cameron Meredith back at defensive end. Baker Steinkuhler at defensive tackle. Will Compton at linebacker. They have some quality people on that defensive side of the ball. But on offense, they have quarterback Taylor Martinez. 56% completion percentage, and ran for 874 yards. He threw 13 touchdown passes, shot put at eight interceptions, but he scored nine touchdowns rushing himself, and Kenny Bell is back at wide receiver. But they have Rex Burkhead, 1,357 yards, 15 touchdowns, caught 21 passes, scored two more on those. Plus, he returns kicks. Bo Pelini can't say enough about him.
Well, Rex has had a heck of a career, going into his senior year, I think he's set up to do some great things. I think he's a tremendous football player, a great leader, the kind of person, you want to model your program around. I mean, that's the type of guy he is. And I think Rex will be the first one to tell you there's a lot of things he can do better. The more he plays, the more he grows in the game, the more his knowledge of the game grows, the better he'll get. And he works so hard at it that I don't see any reason why that won't continue to happen.
And Burkhead says there's a lot more confidence for Nebraska because it's the second time through the Big Ten. The learning curve won't be as great.
Not to me big differences. I mean, there's differences in schemes and stuff like that, but, football's football. And,
you know, when it comes down to it, it's 11 on 11. And, you know, whoever's better prepared, whoever's playing better that day is, you know, going to win. And so this year, I'm sure a year of experience will, you know, help us, you know, with the new conferences, getting familiar with the teams, and hopefully for our coaching staff, you know, making adjustments as needed. But, you know, we're looking forward to it, and it should be a great year.
Nebraska, of course, on Penn State's schedule. They're the crossover game. The Nittany Lions go to Lincoln on Saturday, November 10th. As for Nebraska, their schedule looks like this. They open up on September 1st when they play Southern Mississippi, and Bo Pelini's brother Carl is the head coach at Southern Mississippi. Then they play in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, Arkansas State at home, and then Idaho State in the 22nd. They open up Big Ten play with Wisconsin on September 29th in Lincoln. Then they go to Columbus to play Ohio State. Then they're at Northwestern. Michigan goes to Lincoln on the 27th. Then on November 3rd, they're at Michigan State. The Nittany Lions are there at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln on November 10th. Minnesota the 17th. And they close out at Iowa. We're in the Legends Division. We go to Leaders next. We'll hear from Urban Meyer of Ohio State as we continue on WKOK after this.
Gas prices too high this summer? Bring them down during the Drive for Less event at your Quality Plus Ford store. Save big this summer on the full line of fuel-efficient Ford cars, trucks, SUVs, and crossovers. Drive for less in a new Ford Escape with an unbelievable 28 miles per gallon. And right now, you can drive an Escape with no money down, pay no interest for 5 years, plus get up to $1,000 cash back, or lease one for just $159 a month for 24 months. Plus, you can drive an Escape up to 437 miles on one tank of gas. Or choose a new Ford Fusion and get an incredible 33 miles per gallon and go over 700 miles on a single tank of gas. And for a limited time, put no money down, pay no interest for 5 years, plus get up to $1,000 cash back, or lease for $159 a month for 24 months. For complete qualifications and details, call 1-800-NEXT-FORD. The Drive for Less event is happening now, so get to your Quality Plus Ford store today.
This is Hollywood, where the 80s are in the house, Saturday, April 14th, with a special performance featuring the Idol Kings, playing all your favorite songs from rock and roll legend John Mellencamp, including Pink Houses, Hurts So Good, Cherry Bomb, and Jack and Diane. Don't miss the Idol Kings at Hollywood Casino, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars, here you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
Welcome back to our Big Ten preview. And so far, we've taken a look at the six teams in the Legends Division. It turns out that Penn State, along the way, will play three of them. The Nittany Lions will have to play at Iowa this year. Northwestern will be at Beaver Stadium. And the Nittany Lions in the crossover game have to play their game at Nebraska. Now let's get to the Leaders Division. Penn State will play all five of these teams. And, of course, that means Ohio State. Ohio State will be in Beaver Stadium to take on the Nittany Lions. That will be on October 27th. Obviously, many are looking forward to that showdown. The new head coach is Urban Meyer. Everybody knows it. And when Urban Meyer looks at his football team right away, he has a quarterback with some experience, albeit not a great thrower yet, in Braxton Miller.
No, I'm very impressed with Braxton. First of all, just as a person, the guy's a worker, great work ethic, which is very important, obviously, at that position. But the thing that is the most important characteristic of a quarterback is the competitive spirit, and he has that. So every day, it's you know, I was talking to our coaching staff just a minute ago. Enjoy every minute you got coaching guys like that. He's picked it up fairly well. We had a very good day. What is today? Wednesday. We had a very good day Monday in the perimeter run game, which is going to be a big part of what we do. and that was the first time I've seen it that spring where it was very good. The area we're way we're significantly behind is the just actual throw game, and I know they were as well last year. And that's not just the quarterback; that's protection. That's the, you know, the guys around him. And so our emphasis in the next couple of practices are going to be getting Braxton very comfortable in our passing game.
He's also looking for playmakers in this offense, and right now there doesn't appear to be an abundance of them.
It's a work in progress. You know, I'm holding out hope that in these last half of spring that we're going to put them in situations where they're going to either make plays or not. You know, we've had a lot of emphasis on just installation, and that's normal situations, which is the, you know, play action passing game, the run game. Now we're going to really sink our teeth into our drop back pass game, and so guys have to step up. And the guy that, you know, Jake Stoneburner has done a very good job. You know, we're moving him around, doing a lot of things with him. And Jordan Hall, those are our two playmakers right now on offense. But obviously that's not near enough.
Yeah, they know they need more on offense. He's also been very pleased with the work of Jake Muhort at the guard spot. They have 7 starters returning on offense. They have 9 returning starters on defense, including one of the best defensive linemen in not just the Big Ten, but in the country.
Well, the number one guy, the guy that is just the war horse that is, you know, he is Ohio State football, and that's John Simon. I mean, I can't help but say I love the guy. You know, he's one of the most committed. You know, he's Tebow-ish as far as his commitment. You know, he's here nonstop, just trains every morning in the weight room. Always is got a great smile on his face, loves the game, loves his teammates, and his passion for Ohio State University is unmatched. Zach Bourne is playing very well, Jake Stoneburner very well. Jack Muhort, our offensive tackle, is, you know, he's just another stud that tries, you know, does good things for us. On defense, Jonathan Hankins, C.J. Barnett, and Roby are doing really well for us.
That's Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer. I mentioned what he has on offense, 7 returning starters, 9 on defense. He also has both of his kickers back, and place kicker Drew Basil and also punter Ben Buchanan. When you look at what Ohio State has to do this year, it's a nice soft start for them. They get a Miami of Ohio on September 1st. Then it'll be Central Florida at home, then Cal at home, and then Alabama-Birmingham at home. They finally play a road game when they open the Big Ten schedule September 29th at Michigan State. Then they have Nebraska at home, at Indiana on October 13th. Purdue will be at Columbus on October 20th. They play the Nittany Lions at Beaver Stadium October 27th, which a lot of people have circled. November 3rd, it's Illinois. Then after a bye week, they play at Wisconsin. And then they play Michigan to close out the season in Columbus. Remember, Ohio State is ineligible to go to the Big Ten championship game. They are ineligible to play in a bowl game. Well, we've just scratched the surface of the leaders division. We'll come back in the next half hour. We'll talk about Indiana, Wisconsin, and Purdue as we continue with our spring preview of Big Ten football on WKOK after the news.
Hi, I'm Michael Smirkanish, and you're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK.